Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And today we're talking about a subject that a lot of you need to hear. It is called deception. And the question is, have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been cheated on? Have you ever lied to someone you loved or cheated on them? Have you ever been rejected or dejected? Have you ever overlapped your relationships? Have you ever felt like a jerk because you weren't honest with someone you were supposed to love? Well, we're going to take a look astrologically as to why people are like this. Why so many millions of Americans, young Americans, between the ages of 20 and 50, particularly, are not to be trusted. And, you know, this topic is for me, because I think I would probably be married with many children by now if it wasn't for deception. And I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, but it oftentimes seems that when we do fall in love with somebody, whoever it is, that it is also oftentimes the grand deceiver that we fall in love with. That little truth comes up, right? The little business card with another man's name on it, or perhaps we find out there's another woman in her life. Who knows what the reason is? But anyway, an interesting topic for you today on a no forecast edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And I just decided to do this topic because there's so much bull going on out there. I want to tell you something. I know that part of the oath of being an astrologer is an oath of confidence. And I'm aware of that, and I'm really going to try hard not to mention any names on today's show. But you know, in my practice, I see lots of people, and I see lots of women, maybe 80, 90% more women than men. And the interesting thing about life is that, do you know what's going on out there? I mean, like, this is the age of Pisces, and there is such a veil that covers this planet. A lot of single men are very angry in Los Angeles right now because they want to know, where are all the women? Remember the question, where are all the good men? And sometimes the answer to that is, they're married. And that's why a lot of women intentionally date and go out with and make love to, behind a wife's back, her husband. And a lot of men normally and naturally evolve to this mistress syndrome of being married to one woman and having one or more girlfriends on the side as their lovers. And it's such a total facade, it's such a total travesty, there's such an incredible veil. But as a counselor and as an astrologer, I want you to know that this sort of thing goes on every day. I kind of tend to think that married men not only get more sex than single guys, but they get a lot more attention than single guys. You know, a lot of women are afraid to play around with promiscuous single men because they don't want to get AIDS, or they don't want to get hurt, or they don't want to get rejected. And a married man is safe, sort of, for them, because they figure, well, he's just sleeping with his wife. Oh, right. If he's sleeping with his wife and you, he's probably got another dozen somewhere tossed away. The part of this show that's interesting is that if you're having an affair with a married person, don't think you're so special, because if he's going to cheat on his wife, then he's going to cheat on you too. And just because he's sleeping with you and his wife doesn't mean he doesn't have a whole harem out there somewhere, because some guys can be very tricky. And it goes both ways. Men like to think that their wives are perfect, that there's a double standard, and that they're happily married and they would be the ones that would cheat, but their wives would never think of going out with another man. Aha! And then the veil is lifted, and one day you found out not only has she had a lover, she's had a dozen lovers in the 10 years you've been married. And it's amazing how people are shocked by this revelation. It's like, gosh, I could do that sort of thing to you, honey, but you're not supposed to do that to me. But there's so much deception and lying and cheating and dishonesty and non-loyalty going on all over the place. It reminds me of, if you ever had the gumption enough to see the movie Raw with Eddie Murphy, he talks about how men are. He admits. He says, ladies, look at those men that are next to you. He says, you think they're loving and they're loyal and they're honest and they're being truthful to you, right? He goes, forget it. Every one of those guys either has a girlfriend or has one or more women besides you. And the sad thing about this topic is not only do people think it's human nature, but this runs a course from a Neptunian transit that occurred, I would say that started around 1940. Let's look. Well, I don't have my book here. I'll just estimate around 1940 to 42, Neptune left Virgo. Now, when Neptune was in Virgo, there was a real old-fashioned generation. I call this the last of the solid-based individuals. Neptune in Virgo, around 1920s to 1940, people born actually were born with ethics. They were actually born with morals. They were really old-fashioned, and they actually were loyal. Most of them also honest. Most of them. Seems like Neptune in Virgo, the Piscean Lord in the planet, in the sign, in the vibration of ethics, seemed to trigger an idealism of ethical behavior that was unsurpassed as far as generations are concerned. Isn't it interesting that in the early 40s, Neptune went into the worst sign for relationships, Libra, totally distorting all of our values concerning relationships. When the sexual revolution started in the 60s, that's because the people born in the 40s with Neptune and Libra had grown up, and they decided to heck with it. It wasn't an accident with all this beatnik era and this hippie era and all this free love and community sex and communes and such. That's not an accident. When Neptune went into Libra, Libra is a vibration of relationships. Neptune is a distorted Piscean energy when it's in that sign, which means that these people walk around like they're stoned. Whether they're stoned or not, they're walking around like they are. They're idealistic. They're Piscean when it comes to relationships. Did you ever try to nail a Pisces down concerning commitment? I have a friend of mine named Roger who's a Pisces. He doesn't even like the word commitment. It frightens him. And a lot of people I know that are like that, especially women with Mars in Pisces, Pisces moon, Pisces rising, they don't really want to make a statement or decision just yet. They want to think about it. Well, you take this generation, let's follow this, mass generation of people born in the 40s and the 50s with Neptune in Libra. Then, to give an excellent follow-up on that, Neptune goes into Scorpio in the late 50s and the 60s, and totally distorts an entire generation concerning intimate relationships, which is what Scorpio means. First, we have a whole bunch of idealists that are looking for the perfect love with Neptune and Libra. Then we have a whole bunch of idealists looking for the perfect sex with Neptune and Scorpio. Well, this creates about 25 or 30 years of babies that are mucho insecuro. And what happens is that we get in relationships, and this is what we call negative Piscean factor, right? We get in relationships and we're afraid that we're going to be dumped on. It's not that we're unhappy. Maybe we are unhappy. It's not that the sex life isn't perfect. Maybe it is. It's not really that we're frightened that we're going to actually have an argument or get divorced or break up with someone. We are afraid to be alone, period, at all. And if one person doesn't fulfill that function for us, then people with Neptune in Libra or Scorpio, whether it's squared or opposed, or whether it's aspected negatively or not, And I want to tell you something. Just because you're born in the 30s or the 40s doesn't mean you're without sin. Because there are people with Neptune and Virgo that have blasted Piscean planets, or blasted Libra planets, right, in their charts. You could have planets in your chart that will make you insecure enough, because it is human nature. I mean, like, I like to take a look way back at the way humans might have been like prior to reason. Like when we were almost like Neanderthals, monkeys or whatever, right? And if you take a look way back, do you think that human beings' natural instinct was to be monogamous the way things are now? The way things are now, the way we've set up things with institutions of marriage and commitment that should last a whole life, with all these millions and billions of people cheating on each other all over the planet, it doesn't appear that humans are that monogamous. It appears we're more like dogs and cats, whatever's around. Like if it turns you on, go for it. A lot of us forget about instinct, but the animal is inside of us, especially men that are dealing with the hormonal cycle, what we would refer to as sperm buildup. And that's if you don't take care of that somehow, of course, guys, no matter how old you are aware you'll still have a wet dream if you don't take care of that somehow. But until you have your wet dream, your sex drive seems to overrule any reason that may be there. So you feel this animal inside of you that's almost ancient. whether you're married or not. If you're in a relationship and your girlfriend doesn't respond to this hormonal buildup you have, then your instinct is going to force you to seek gratification. See what I mean? And a lot of elements fall into this. Because you might have heavy Scorpio in your chart, which will really put a focus on that sex drive and that hormonal buildup and that sensitivity or that need to be nurtured and held or that need not to be alone. I'm sorry, but if you have water in your chart, it makes you more insecure. Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer is the element, the foundation of loneliness, aloneness, and insecurity emotionally and physically if it's not there. Or even if it is there, it is the part of us that seeks outside gratification. And it's, in a way, it's so tragic because the only relationships that I have found as a counselor that really work, that last for that golden wedding anniversary for 50 years, are with people that accept the fact that once in a while, someone in that relationship is not going to be monogamous, or they're into denial and they don't want to admit that their husband has been with 50 women since they've been married, or that they've had their half a dozen affairs also. I mean, there may be a few people out there. I like to think that my mother is perfect, you know. If I found out my mom did something bad, I'd probably be pretty mad at her. And I'm not going to talk about my own family, but the thing is that we all like to believe that our parents and our husbands and our wives and our girlfriends and our boyfriends are perfect. But we're not with them all the time. And when they go out with the girls or with the guys, you know, and they have a couple drinks or they're partying, and they see somebody that gives them eye contact, that animal instinct takes over. So I just want to make it clear today that astrologically and also human nature, biologically, there is an incredible element that identifies and establishes a foundation of deception that is true and is real. And the point is that it exists. And if you're sitting there with me and trying to tell me that you think that your boyfriend or your husband has never cheated before on you or any other commitment, or if you're trying to tell me that you think your girlfriend or your wife has never gone out on a man before, I have to tell you that the majority of you would probably be wrong, because there'd have to be a heavy percentage of people born with Neptune in Libra, Neptune in Scorpio, right, from 1941 to 1963 or 4, 66 up there, something like that. Whole generation of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s right now, right? People that you would love to trust, but people that are so insecure that somehow, some way, they figure out a way to overlap their relationships. And you know, the whole point of today's topic was that I have become totally aware of a generation of women with Neptune in Libra, square Uranus in Cancer, that like to play with other wives' husbands. And they're my clients. And they come in my office and they sit down, they know about karma and they listen to the show, and they'll admit to me that their boyfriend is married to the same woman for 10 years and that they love him. And the sad thing about this whole issue and the sick thing about karma is that whatever you're doing to his wife, because in effect, you're really making love with his wife and it's not comfortable, it's more like a rape, right? By going out with her husband, one day, you're going to have to feel this energy back again. And because we are civilized now, right, because we're dealing with an age of technology and the world is much smaller, of course, we become more aware of what goes on in the world. But this is the sort of thing that has laced American history. It has laced it. If you saw that movie about the liaisons, I forget what it's called, Glenn Close, that's showing right now, that talks about what went on, I think, in France. The 15 or the 1400s or whatever. This is the sort of thing that has laced world history also. So no wonder that we're back now in 1989, 1990s and such, dealing with all this cheating and lying and deception, because we are finally in roles reversed, which means that if you're a man and you're in a relationship with a woman who you found out has cheated on you with another man, then congratulations. The universe is perfect. You are now receiving the energy of what it's like to be cheated on. Now, of course, you're holier than thou, right? In this lifetime, you've never done that, right? Oh, sure. It's almost a lock that the one woman you would love, be obsessed with, fall in love with, want a relationship with, to have and to hold and to be in that commitment with, that would be the target that would use you and abuse you and manipulate you and go out on you. Once again, the question is the motive as to why she's really with you. It's obviously not real love, otherwise she wouldn't have cheated on you. But this sort of thing happens all the time. If you want to stop it, if you want to stop the karma, and you do understand that you're in this generation of deception, then number one, you have to make a commitment to yourself, an oath of loyalty to any lover or relationship you would be with. You're going to have to put your foot down and say, look, Farley or whatever your name is, you are going to be honest and loyal to this woman, no matter what. And if you feel the need to cheat on her, tell her. Sit down and talk to her, say this relationship's being threatened. But no, so many people won't do that because they don't want to lose the relationship. You know, these are lonely times. So they'll feel the urge to cheat and they'll be afraid to be honest with the person they're with because they don't want to blow them away. But it's hard. This is hard. But that's what you have to do. If you want to overcome this karma and stop it, you have to be honest with yourself, make a commitment with yourself to be loyal to a person you're with. And if you can't be loyal with them, then you're going to have to just either tell them or walk from it. Because if you're not loyal, I'm not going to punish you and God's not going to punish you. No one's going to hurt you but yourself. You are going to set the same exact situation up. And one day you won't believe it. The person you think is perfect, you'll walk in the room and there they'll be in bed naked with somebody else, maybe your best friend. And you'll be sitting there in shock like, I can't believe this. But when you think of your history of what you've done to her, then I can believe this is what it's all about. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to talk about some of the astrological factors that will aid to insecurity in an individual that would promote deception, lying, cheating, or disloyalty. So if you're not recording this, you might want to take notes. People that are that evolved in the spirit are more susceptible to this type of karma because they are so intuitive. They can feel their soulmates. They can feel their husbands and wives from past lives, right? Let's say you're in a happy marriage. You got three kids and there's no problem. And you're a grown man like Mike Farley. And all of a sudden, you notice this girl at the restaurant and she's your soulmate. You're married and you have children, but you know that this girl at the restaurant is your soulmate. So New Age people, I'm sorry, are a lot more susceptible to this type of play than the rest of us. The funny thing about metaphysics is that everyone knows what's going on. There's an overmind out there that is fully aware of everything that's going on. Everyone has a higher self. Everyone has a God self. And everyone's higher self and everyone's God self knows what everyone else's damn self is doing too, right? So when you're alone with your lover and your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend's not in the room, don't think they're not watching you. Their higher self is in the bedroom with you, looking at you. And when you come home that night, all sweaty and smelling like somebody else, and they look at you and you already have a fight over nothing, it's because of that conflict that exists between the two conscious minds when people are deceiving with one another. And isn't it interesting that we always choose the ones we love the most to just slaughter like that? We always pick the women or the men that are our perfect dreams, people that oftentimes we think are the end of the line in relationships. We finally settle in with someone who is next to perfect. And that's the one we either cheat on or vice versa. They cheat on us. And it's just like a drug. It is just like a drug. And actually, you have to process it and absolve the addiction just like you would any drug. So very heavy topic. Now, some of these elements astrologically, let's see what I talked about. I talked about Neptune in Libra and Neptune in Scorpio. And unfortunately, with Uranus square Neptune in Libra and partially in Scorpio, for all those years, a lot of this deception goes on with lovers and friends, because Uranus is a planet of friends. That's why a lot of people are afraid to introduce their mates and their girlfriends or their boyfriends to their friends, because they know that there might be a connection there in karma, and then bingo, you got a real scandal going. So that's one thing. Plus an abundance of water. Now, if you got afflicted Neptunes in Libra or Scorpio, and afflicted water planets like Scorpio, Pisces, or Cancer, talking squares or oppositions, one or more, then you qualify to be insecure, up to extremely insecure, to a point where you might either overlap your relationships or cheat on someone you know and love. And this goes beyond just love relationships. This can happen with your parents, with your brothers and sisters, with your own kids. You could deceive them and cheat them in some way, not necessarily sexually, but cheat them. You know what I mean. And also, frankly, when it comes to love too, Mars and Venus in the chart, if Venus or Mars is square or opposed Neptune, wow, that's heavy, because you can not only be the cheater, but create cheaters in your life as mates. And I've had a history of knowing women that would cheat on me because I have Venus square Neptune, so I always fall in love with the women that would eventually go out with me, and then I'm never shocked because I know what type of rogue I must have been in a past life to get that. What is the answer? Everybody's saying, okay, Farley, we're all aware we're a bunch of cheaters, and we're married, and we're living with a bunch of cheaters, and we know all these cheaters and stuff. Well, that's all well and good. But the one way that I like to live my life that really has helped me is to remember one thing. First of all, this is all an illusion. That's number one. Number two, it's important that we not take life hard or personal, because we can make ourselves sick. That's number two. So number three, it's also important that you are aware of the laws of karma. So what goes around comes around, which means if you messed up in a past life, then you can bet dollars to donuts that you're going to get it back sometime in this lifetime, and it's not going to feel good. So if you're in a relationship where someone cheats on you, instead of blaming them, look within. And also, I choose not to have any remorse, any regrets, or any guilt, as long as I try to be nice and respectable to people I know and love. Which means if I'm in a relationship with a woman, and I've been there, who cheats on me, and we break up because of it, then I'm not going to have any regrets over that. You should have remorse, regrets, and guilt if you physically or emotionally injure someone or hurt them or abuse them. But if you're the innocent party here and that you feel you're just a victim of circumstance, it's best to just let it pass. Because frankly, a lot of relationships can survive this stuff. It's karma. And that doesn't mean you should run out and cheat on your lover. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that if you are meant to stay in a relationship at all, like some of these women that are into denial because they know their husband have been cheating on them for years, but their husbands still are married to them because their husbands still like them. They're number one. So even though a human being may not be monogamous as far as animal instinct is concerned, the fact that you're still married or in a relationship with somebody that would cheat on you says something. You're not alone. You still have that relationship. You know, the problem with a lot of us that are younger in our 20s, 30s, and 40s is that we're not old-fashioned, but we're in the double standard. We're totally in a double standard, which means that it's okay for us to do it, but no one's going to do it to us. We get angry. We got Neptune and Scorpio or Libra. We want to explode with a rage over this. What do you mean you cheated on me? How dare you cheat? And then meanwhile, it's like, oh, excuse me, you never threw any stones yourself, huh? If we were a little bit more old-fashioned like some of the older generations with Neptune and Leo, Neptune in Virgo and Neptune in Cancer, that are a lot more, can handle this stuff, and their marriages last longer, well, then we wouldn't have so many single people out there. See what I mean? The reason why you have so many millions of young folks in their 20s, 30s, and 40s that are single is because they're so stubborn and because they have a no-prisoners attitude. I can cheat on you, but you can't cheat on me, and if I catch you cheating on me, it's over. Real good. That's a good way to make sure you're lonely forever. If you want to know how many women and men out there would have lasted in their relationships had they found out there was cheating, I don't think many people would be married right now. I think most of us would be rogues and nomads out there looking. See, so take the advice, and I'll take it myself. If it happens and the relationship is still strong afterwards, then let it go. It's karma. Just recognize if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, that you got more of an animal in you. And same with the women. If men weren't monogamous in ancient times, then that means that women must have been used to finding new mates all the time too, right? So they have the instinct, and women are ruled by their hormones. There's a few women out there with Scorpio moons and Venus and Mars and Scorpio that are out there hunting too. Hey, listen, I had a guy tell me yesterday, a Pisces friend of mine tell me that he thought women were more passionate and more subject to being sensuous than men. Because he knew that every time he was in a good relationship, he couldn't live up to his girlfriend's sex drive. And I said, interesting, a lot of women do like sex. That's true, they really do.